Mark chapter number 8, Mark chapter 8. Let's go there for just a moment this morning. My understanding is a meal has been prepared and provisions have been made. And so we'll be just a moment and we'll get us right over there here in a little while. I thought about making a deal with you that if everybody stays awake and pays attention, I'll preach 28 minutes. But if one person falls asleep, I'm going to preach 3 hours. Is that a good trade-off? Amen. I got a thumbs up. Van said thumbs up. All right. Van made the deal for all of y'all. That means everybody's going to stay awake, pay attention this morning. And I've already dealt with this scripture and this text. And Lord kind of got us in a big way as we've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and according to Mark, not the Gospel of Mark, it's the Gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Mark. And this is the record the Spirit of the Lord perfectly gave to Mark to pin down for us. And I want to go back, and we're actually backing up just a little bit from where we were last Sunday night, and I want to continue the thought on the most important question on the road of life. The most important question on the road of life. If you're willing and able to do so, stand with us for just a moment. We'll read these 3 or 4 verses, and then we will go eat something, all right? Amen. The Bible said, verse 27, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. By the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom the men say that," and I love them next 2 words, "I am." That really, really the answer, Brother Mike, is in the question. Yes, hallelujah. He is the I am. Amen. They didn't like that. The crowd didn't like that, but I'm glad the answer is in the question. "Whom the men say that I am?" And they answer, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answereth and saith unto him, "Thou art the Christ." He charged them that they should tell no man. And we'll leave off no man of him. We'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated. We began this, and I'll quickly rehearse some things. It won't take me long to get to some closing thoughts we weren't able to cover, but it is as the disciples throughout Jesus' public ministry here, they find themselves again walking with Jesus on the roads of the land of Israel. The Bible is clear in verse number 27 that they are walking by the way. They're on a road. They're in a journey. They're following the leadership and the leading of the Lord Jesus. They've been doing this now for 3 years when you come to this particular text. In about 6 to 9 months, the Lord Jesus Christ will be betrayed and will go to Calvary. And so many of these men have already spent the last 3 years of their life walking with the Lord, listening to the Lord teach, watching Him do miracles. They themselves have been a part of His ministry. And they are now again on another road and on another journey as they live their life with the Lord. Here, Christ does what He does in nearly every journey they take. He engages His disciples in spiritual matters. This time, though, it's going to be different. There are 2 questions He is going to pose to them directly. These 2 questions, the first is simply to get their minds thinking. But the second, we believe, is the most important question that they could have and would ever be asked on their road and journey with the Lord Jesus. "But whom say ye that I am?" It doesn't matter what others think about Him. It doesn't matter what others say about Him. It doesn't matter what others' opinions and what they profess about the Lord. The most important question is not what does your mama and your daddy and your preacher and your papa and your mamaw and your best buddy think about the Lord Jesus. It's not what does LeBron James think about Jesus. It's not what does Anthony Fauci think about Jesus. The most important question in life is, whom say ye that I am? And so this involves, we said, at least four things. It is a personal question. It is a personal question. It is one thing to know what others say about Jesus, but what say you about Jesus? How would you answer the question if it was posed to you? And indeed, we believe it is posed to you by the Lord through the Scripture and in this text. But whom say ye that I am? It is a personal question. It is a frictional question. When we think about the confrontation of this matter, it cannot be overstated, because its very nature demands you give an honest answer of your evaluation of the Lord. They tell us in these days there's two things you don't ever ask anybody about, and that's politics and religion. And we're not dealing with politics. God knows somebody needs to deal with that in this day, this bunch of corrupt, amen, evil. Somebody said they're senile. They ain't senile, they're evil. They're evil and they're perverted. And I'm not preaching on politics, because there's a lot of friction in that this morning, but we need to. And we're not even preaching about religion this morning. I'm not asking you about your religious beliefs. I am asking you and demanding of you, as Christ demands of these men in this text, whom say ye that I am? It is frictional in that you can't escape this question. You may not want to think about it. You may not want to give an answer. You may not want to ponder it. You may be want to be left alone about it. Let me go live my life. But for the next 20 minutes, I'm telling you, I am going to confront you about, amen, this question, the most important question on your road of life. Whom say ye that Jesus is? It is a frictional question. It's a relational question. You see, when he says, whom say ye that I am, at the very root of this question, there is an interrogation about one's relationship to God and his Son. And we said several weeks back, and it's so important, I beg you to listen to me, and let this statement sink in. And the statement is simply this in regard to this question: you cannot be wrong about Jesus and be right with God. When we preach and we give the gospel, we're reminding men that you cannot be wrong about Jesus. There's so many that have so many weird ideas and strange ideas, and Brother Mike, ideas that are anti what the Word of God says about Jesus. He ain't your best bud. He ain't the old man upstairs. He ain't just some philosopher or teacher or some good man to pattern some of your life after. Hey man, this is a relational question. If you do not answer this question right, and you're not right about who Jesus is, you are not right with God. And so that follows and bears the fourth matter involved in this question. And that is, it is an eternal question. Yes, it's personal. I know it's frictional. I understand it is relational, but it is eternal. You see, how a person answers this question determines their eternal destiny. If you think you're going to go to heaven some other way than by who Jesus is and is revealed in the Word of God to be, and my friend, you're going to miss heaven by a million miles. Hey man, you'll spend an eternity in hell if you don't get this. The answer to this question right. And Jesus, understanding that, as he's already declared and will declare, that he is the way of life, he is the way of eternal life, that he has come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly, to offer everlasting and eternal life to men. You won't find that in any other thing in this world. And how you answer this question, and whom say ye that I have, it is an eternal question. And so we would say today, in light of all of those things, this is indeed the most important question on the road of life. And so looking at the text in verse number 27, we see the location of the probe where Christ asked the question. He didn't ask it in Jerusalem. He didn't ask it in Bethany. He didn't ask it in Capernaum. The Bible said that they're in a region known as Caesarea Philippi. That being an idolatrous city, an idolatrous region. In fact, there was all sorts of gods and idols, in particular the god Pan that had been brought in by the Greeks, and a temple had been erected to him, and that pagan deity in the mouth of a cave there on the shores of the Caesarea Philippi. And there in the opening of that cave, they called that place the gates of hell. They believed that to be, that's what the pagans believed. I'm not telling you it's right. I'm just telling you what they believed, and even the Jews believed that that was the portal from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. That's how the gods and all the gods of the pagans entered and exited this realm that you and I know is earth. And it's there. And in this particular place, the Lord asked them the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" It was a place of satanic deception. Do you understand the Word of God says that those that are lost in sin, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, this one known as the devil, this one known as Satan today. He wants you deceived about who Jesus is. He wants you following yourself and the gods of this world. He wants your life being lived in His plan and in His will. He'll do all He can to deceive you and keep you. But the Lord, in the midst of all the satanic deception that was associated with Caesarea Philippi, He called on these men to answer that question. Amen. They had to turn their back on all the lies of the devil. They had to turn their back on all the idols and all other gods and all other deities. And there Christ is calling on them to make a confession about who Jesus is. A place of satanic deception. It was a place of sinful distraction. I would not even begin to embark this morning upon all the sinful activities that went on in that region associated with the Temple of Pan, and all the Baal worship that had been associated with the region there, even in Old Testament times known as Dan, all sorts of sinful immoralities and pleasure-seeking people that would live their life in lasciviousness and no restraint and blatant perversions, much like the world in which we're living in this very day. Can I say with the question, "Whom say ye that I am?" It is a question about salvation. It is a question about where you stand with the Lord. And the Lord is the one who changes lives. Amen. And I want to go on record today. I know it ain't popular. Amen. But if you're ever going to answer that question right and get rooted in the power of salvation, my friend, you'll have to turn your back on sinful distractions. Amen. You'll have to let the Lord deliver you from sin. I'm glad He's an able deliverer. I'm glad He can bring you out. Amen. Whatever's distracting you, it may not even be all that wicked as far as man is concerned. But my friend, if it's a distraction keeping you from Christ, it is a sinful distraction that you must be called upon to allow Christ to deliver you from. Amen. And it will only come when you get serious about a most important question on the road of life. Whom say ye that I am? It was a place of social duress. You see, in that area and in that region, They were all pagans. They were all sinful pleasure dwellers. It wasn't a region where it was popular to follow the Lord. And to answer this question and to give your heart and your life to Him, it wasn't popular. In fact, to do that, you'd be in the minority. Can I say, when it comes to this question on the road of life, and it comes to being saved and being a child of God, my friend, you'll have to turn your back on the social duress. Hey, man, I'm telling you, when I got saved, the morning I got born again, there was something on the inside of me. Hey, man, that was so ready to be saved. Had so long to be saved. Listen, you could have put Vladimir Putin and all his Russian army alongside of China and President Xi and North Korea and all their nuclear bombs and said, they could have shouted it, Brother David, and said, "Led better if you bow your knee and get saved. We're going to blow you off the face of the map." I'd have still rolled out of my bed and called upon it. I didn't care what the world thought. I didn't care what my buddies thought. I didn't care what Hollywood thought. I didn't care what anybody thought in that air. I knew I was lost and I was undone. And the Spirit of the Lord had revealed to me the answer to the most important question of life. Amen. And in that moment of time, there was nobody going to hold me back from being saved. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God. There is a way to be saved. Amen. Over satanic deception and sinful distraction and social duress. And we find that in the location of this probe. Notice women, the estimation of the people found in verse 27 and verse number 28. Whom do men say that I am? It was asked to reveal the disciples' awareness of what estimation others were saying about their Savior. And they had already heard what others had been saying. It's not in the text, but we could say the disciples could have said this, that some thought ill of Jesus. The Pharisees, they're always saying He's of the devil. They accuse Him of being a wine-bibber and a glutton, and they accuse Him of being Beelzebub. And they accused Him of so many things, Brother Riley, because they had ill thoughts of who Jesus was. And buddy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people even in our day, and they have ill thoughts of who Jesus is. They, my friend, have no regard for Him. They have no value placed upon Him in the way even that they think. They deny His existence. They deny His Saviorhood and Lordship. They claim that, yeah, maybe He was really historically a man that walked upon the face of the earth, and they dumb Him down to being just any other man. And they have ill thoughts of who Jesus is. There's some in the text, the disciples said, "Lord, there's some that thought well of Jesus." There's some that say that you're John the Baptist, the greatest that Christ said had ever been born of a woman. They had a pretty good thought of who Jesus was, but He was the greater than John the Baptist. Others said, "Well, this is Elias and has been brought back through resurrection power," saying that He was Elijah. Elijah being a man of power, Elijah being a man of God, Elijah being an Old Testament hero even to that Jewish community in that day. And what a way to think about the Lord. But He's more than John the Baptist, and He's more than Elijah. He said in this text, Mark recorded it, and others, one of the prophets. Matthew said one of the other prophets they claimed Him to be as Jeremiah raised from the dead. That weeping prophet, that prophet of compassion, that had broken-hearted one who in humility and in meekness preached and warned his generation. And that would be a pretty good thought to have about the Lord Jesus. Or surely no man was ever more meek than our Savior. Nobody ever lived a more lowly and humble life than the Son of God. Nobody wept and was brokenhearted over the condition of men and their families and lives and nations that were lost and undied. May I say, my friend, friend, he was a greater than Jeremiah. Amen. They may have thought well of him, but they still didn't think high enough of it. Amen. Because both those who thought ill or well of Jesus, both were missing who Jesus really was. Amen. He's not to be ill thought of, and he's not just to be well thought of. Amen. Just because you think well of Jesus doesn't mean that you have come to the right conclusion. And so the Lord springs from that first question. Amen. The estimation of the people. And he asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Amen. I've got to know, who do you think I am? What would you say about me? Don't tell me what your mama thinks. Don't tell me what your daddy thinks. Don't tell me about what Sissy testified about the Lord being to her and what he did for her. Don't tell me what Sister Aberdeen, amen, told you years ago. What would you say today in answer to the question, whom do you say that I am? This brings us to our concluding thought in the moment of time. Amen. And most of you is doing your best. And you're at least trying this morning to hold up your end of the bargain. Amen. Y'all remember the deal we make now. I'll be done in a few minutes. Consider with me the declaration of the persuaded. We see the location of the probe and the estimation of the people. But notice the declaration of the persuaded. No matter the location, the disciples or the estimation others had concluded. It is Peter that speaks up and answers for the disciples. And here's the answer that he made, Brother Mike. He simply said, "Thou art the Christ." Now I want to go on record and say Peter got it right. I want to say it. And even the Lord blessed him for the answer in which he gave. Matthew would record, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." And immediately upon Peter saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," that the Lord favored him and counted him to be blessed, that he knew the answer to the most important question of life. And you'll never know what it is to be blessed until you can say, "I am persuaded that he is the Son of God. I am persuaded he's the Savior of the world. I am persuaded that he is the Christ." Amen. That is the answer to the question. It's not just saying it, it's being persuaded. As Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded." I have no doubts about it. I'm not flipping coins and rolling dice. Amen. I'm not just taking somebody else's word for it. I know who Jesus is. Amen. Boy, I'm getting worked up. Amen. Thou art the Christ. The declaration of the persuaded. Are you persuaded about who he is? Are you persuaded this morning? As Peter would answer without hesitation, without embarrassment, without bowing his head, without even whispering, so that all those that are worshiping the devil don't look at him as though he's odd and strange. He simply steps up upon the eternal pages of the Word of God, and without fear or favor of men, it is Peter that said, "I'll go on record right here in the middle of all this junk, and I'll gladly say that thou art the Christ." Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, there are those that, and if the question was posed, they've been taught enough Sunday school lessons and know what the right answer is. They've heard enough messages preached and gospel songs sung, and they know the answer to the question, and they refuse to declare it. They refuse to be so persuaded about it, and they could give a rip what anybody thinks. And Peter that day said it in earshot of the devil. He said it in the earshot of a bunch of pagans. He said and in the earshot of a bunch of adulterers and fornicators and drunkards. I'm not ashamed of who he is. I'm not ashamed to answer it. Thou art the Christ. Buddy, I'm telling you, if you're ashamed, we done dealt with it. I can't get hung up here. Dear God, I'm about to preach 3 hours. Somebody go to sleep so I can keep my end of the bargain. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you this morning? Amen. I'm not ashamed of who He is. I'm glad He's the Christ. Let me give you 3 thoughts. I'm done this morning about the declaration of the persuaded. Notice with me, this is big now, the significance of the declaration. You say, preacher, that he didn't give some long, drawn-out answer. He didn't give some doctrinal treatise about who the Lord was. He didn't talk about the hypostatic union of Christ, how that He was God in the flesh, and all of that. He just simply said, Thou art the Christ. And can I go on record and say this morning, you ain't got to know everything about Him. I've been saved 26, almost 27 years now. I'm still learning about who He is. I'm still learning more. There's more answer to that question than my friend I could have ever dreamed. And it'll take eternity. Amen. He'll be revealing more and more about who He is, and we'll ever be learning. But I'm glad I didn't have to know it all. Amen. But you have to know what Peter said. Thou art the Christ. Because in that answer there is significance about who Jesus is. Let me give it to you quickly. Amen. The significance. Amen. Matthew 1:16 declares exactly what Peter did as the Spirit of God moved upon Matthew's heart. Right about the generations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what he said. That Jesus had been born of Mary and said he was Jesus, which is called Christ. You say, what does that mean? It simply means the anointed one. The anointed one. You say, well, what does that have to do with eternal life? What does that have to do with who Jesus is, the anointed one? You see, it speaks of the 3 offices under the Old Testament that Christ came to fulfill. I would put it this way to you quickly. I'm running out of time. And let me put it to you this way. He is the Christ of revelation. He is the Christ of revelation. Amen. You see, under the Old Testament, the first office that would be anointed was that of the office of the prophet. Every prophet had to be anointed. He would have anointing oil and it had been poured out upon him. And when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, you're the anointed one. You are the anointed of God. He was saying, You are the Christ of revelation. You are the one that has come to reveal the way to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, a prophet got a message from the one who sent it and declared that to those, whether they embraced it or rejected it. He came to bring revelation. And I say, Christ, the Christ of revelation, amen, is the anointed one. He is the prophet of all prophets. He didn't just come with a word of judgment. He didn't just come with a word of you better straighten up. He came, my friend, with a revelation of how man can get to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know the Christ of revelation. I know the one who revealed to me, and I could not go to where the Lord was, and I couldn't make it to heaven. I'm glad I met the Christ. I met the one who brought revelation. Buddy, I'm telling you, you'll stay in deception until you look to the Christ of revelation. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in the dark. I'm glad I'm not in the sin. I'm glad I'm not deceived today. I could be anywhere doing anything today. And I met the Christ. I met the anointed one. I met the Christ of revelation. Amen. He's the Christ of revelation. He's the Christ of mediation. The second office in the Old Testament that was taken on by anointing was that of not only the prophet, but the priest. The priest had a ministry, Brother Larry, in which he would go in. Hallelujah. They would carry blood back in there. Amen. Into the presence of the Lord upon the holy altar.
He had been anointed for such a task. Not just anybody could go back there, Brother Bob. Amen. It wasn't just any old Tom, Dick, and Harry. Amen. They could run back there and say, I'm going to mediate today. Oh, no, it had to be an anointed one. It had to be one that had God's approval upon his life. And he had to meet requirements. And that priest, literally what he's doing, he's going in behind the veil as a prophet. He's coming from God to man. And as a mediator, he is coming on behalf of man to God. Hebrews, I don't have time to run it all down. My time's up. I don't want to be a liar, but amen, too late for that, I guess. Amen. We just shoot for a range. That's what we shoot for. We're not too specific unless we're preaching the book. Amen. 28:38, it's really all the same, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I know the mediator. When Peter said, Thou art the Christ, you're the anointed one, it was an expression, it was a declaration that Christ was the Christ of mediation. I would remind you what the Apostle Paul said, there's one mediator. There's one mediator. There's not two. There's not a handful. There's not a list of multiple choice. Oh no, there is one mediator between God and man. And that is the man Christ Jesus. A man Christ Jesus. An anointed Savior who came to be the Christ of mediation. That's why there's hope. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why it don't matter how young or how old you are. It don't matter how far in sin you've been. Hey God, there's hope. Oh, there's a mediator who came as the anointed one. Amen. By his own blood. Amen. Not the blood of bulls and goats, but our spiritual high priest. Amen. The one greater than Aaron, the one greater than Melchizedek. Amen. The one greater than any other tribe of Levi that would ever serve. Thank God was the anointed one of God and came to be the Christ of mediation. And our offering became the offer of his own offering. And we have mediation and salvation. And there's only one way to be saved. And that's through the mediation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You trust anything else, it ain't in baptism and wafers. Amen. One preacher said it ain't wafers, water, works. But thank God there is a fountain filled with blood. Our high priest has entered in. He is the mediator. He's the mediator. Thank God I ain't trusting in myself. I'm trusting in the Christ of mediation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Tim was just saying this morning. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions. Thank God, I'm glad he's one who was the anointed one, the Christ of mediation.
Amen.
Because he mediated on my behalf. I stand before you today with the right answer to the most important question on the road of life.
Amen.
I know he's the Christ. He's the Christ of domination. See, it's not only prophet, priest, but a man potentate or a king. A man would be anointed. Those kings would be anointed to serve in the office in that Old Testament economy of Israel. Amen. They had to be anointed to serve in that office. And I say this morning, when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, he was saying, I know who you are. I know you're the prophet. I know you're the priest. I know that you're the king. And he ain't just some king. He ain't like Saul. And he ain't even like David. He may be the son of David, but he is the greater Son of David. Amen. One greater than David. One greater than Solomon. That's what Jesus said. Y'all remember what he said? I'm trying to quit. Amen. You betties, leave me alone. I'm trying to quit over here. Amen. But Sister Pat, here's what he said. He said, Solomon, a queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, and she was wowed and astonished on his glory and all that he had in his kingdom. Jesus looked at that crowd and said, but there's a greater than Solomon that is here. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm about to get beside myself this morning. Hey, man, I don't know what y'all got to eat over there. It ain't near as good what I'm eating right now. I'm glad, Brother Jeremy, I know the King of Kings. I know the Lord of Lords. And when my life was in sin, when my life was in a mess, and my life was connected and bound to the God of this world, the devil, Satan, the adversary, a thought to do me ill, thought to bring my soul to hell, I'm glad I met the anointed one. I'm glad I met the one who had enough power, amen, and domination to bring me out of sin and to change my life. What a difference in my life since I met the Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's significant when Peter said, thou art the Christ.
Amen.
Jam-packed with what he believed about who Jesus was. Notice with me the source of the declaration. It ain't in Mark, you got to go to Matthew, but Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He just declared, thou art the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The only way you can answer the way you have, there was somebody from another world that worked and brought to you. Amen. That answer to that question. You see, it wasn't in his grandma. He didn't learn it in a classroom. He didn't learn it in an earthly heritage. He didn't learn it even just by the mere instruction of a religious system. He learned it, my friend, by the Spirit of God that brought revelation to him and opened his eyes, and others thought ill, and when others just thought well, it was the Father, it was the Heavenly Father that gave him the answer and persuaded him and brought it and made it real to him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ain't hanging on to daddy's coattails. I ain't running in, amen, dogmas and creeds and religious systems. I'm glad for the day that the Holy Ghost made him real in my life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, this thing ain't a game to me. It used to be a game to me. I used to sit around and try to find loopholes. Said, amen, find ways. I would imagine, even as a teenage boy, about how I was going to live the way I wanted to live. But thank God the Holy Ghost showed up one day. He began to reveal to me, amen, the answer to that most important question of life. And when he gave it, thank God, I am persuaded. Say, what do you think about it? I'll tell you today, I'm persuaded it's real. It's real. It's real.
Amen.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's real.
Amen.
Ain't no doubt in my mind Jesus is everything he said he was. Ain't no doubt in my mind Jesus has done for me everything he promised he would do for those that would come to him by faith. It's real. I ain't looking for loopholes. Hallelujah. I ain't looking for a religious system, amen, that will fit into my life. Brother Tim, I met the Redeemer. I met the one that came to bring salvation. He didn't come to put me in a system. He came to put me in salvation. He didn't come to bring religion. He came to bring redemption. He came to make it real. And I can say with Peter, and I have learned it of the Father and the Holy Ghost. I ain't in this way because the brethren are. I'm in this way because God revealed it unto me. I know I got to quit. I know I done messed it all up. Some of y'all trying to go to sleep. You say he didn't hold his end up. I'm going to sleep. That old man of God back there on the back row, Brother A.L., said several years ago, we was talking. Back in the early morning prayer room, I'll never forget it all. The days I live, we was talking about this generation. We was talking about how confused they are and far from God they are. Far from holiness that they are. No regard for rag, no regard for living for God. No regard for selling out to the Lord. And Brother A.L., he spoke up. He said, "Preacher, there's just some things only the Holy Ghost can reveal to a man." Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, until you let God, I'm about to run. Until you let God the Father reveal it to you. Hey man, you're going to live in a religious system. You're going to feel like you got an anvil around your neck. You're always going to be depressed. You're never going to make it. Hey man, but oh, if you respond to what the Father wants to reveal to you about Jesus, you'll be amazed how He'll lighten your load.
Amen.
I'm so persuaded about Him and what He's done and satisfied with it, I don't need nothing this world has to offer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I've tried some of it. Heard a preacher say this week, and I had to say amen about it. He said, "I remember when I was a teenager." He said, I was involving my life in things and I thought I was cool. He said, "When I met Jesus and got a little age on me, I realized I wasn't cool, I was stupid." I had to say that's exactly where I was. I thought I was cool. I thought I had life by the tail. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew more. Hey man, than that crowd, they kept trying to tell me about the Lord. They kept trying to tell me about the gospel and the Word of God. But I couldn't understand it because all I could see was it was flesh and blood trying to cram it down my throat. There's a good day in my life when the Holy Ghost said, "Boy, here it is. Here's what they've been trying to tell you about." Oh, hallelujah, Brother Tim. I may preach 3 hours and just let y'all not come back tonight. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it's a good day when the Holy Ghost said, "Here it is, boy. Here's what you've been missing on and all. Here's what you've been fighting against. Here's what you've been wrestling against. Here's what you've been raising your sword. Here's where all your rebellion has been against." And all of a sudden, Brother Bob, in that moment of time, it all made sense, Seth. It all became clear. I began to be persuaded and I could say, "Oh, I know the answer to the most important question on the road of life. Thou art the Christ." But you can have all the alcohol, you can drink it by the river loads. You can smoke all the dope, put all the needles you want to put in your arm. You can run to all the sex parties and all the immorality this world is offering this generation. Buddy, I'm telling you, I have had something revealed to me that is as real as the air I breathe. Hallelujah. Hey man, it is so real on the inside. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could put it out. I'd have just got a feeling the Holy Ghost is trying to reveal it to somebody this morning. Hey man, oh, would you let a Heavenly Father reveal to you, hey man, the answer that you need to answer this question? Hey man, the significance and the source. Quickly notice the silence. The silencing of this declaration. Something very interesting happens. Brother Blaylock, the Lord said, I think it's verse number 30, He said, the Bible said He charged them. After they answered it, He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. Why? Because He had already revealed it to them over and over and over. They had already heard so many messages. They had already had so many opportunities. The Father had tried to give it to them so many times, and they pushed Him away, and they pushed the Anointed One, they pushed the Christ to the side. Oh, they would gladly have His miracles, but not His mastery of their life. And so they would come for the food and the fish and hush puppies. He would pass out it. They would come to bring their babies, and He would heal them. When it came down to, are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to embrace Christ? Are you going to put your faith in the Anointed One? They pushed Him aside and said, we're not interested in that. And now Christ said to a crowd that is persuaded, don't go tell them anymore. They've received all the revelation they're going to get. Candy's coming the piano. Can I say this morning, you know who's in the most danger here today? It's those that have heard and the Father has revealed to you truth. You've toyed with it and you've mulled it over and passed it between your hands, and then you make the conscious decision to reject it and push it aside. This preacher is going to preach what I preach this morning by the help and the grace and the strength that God gives me. I plan on preaching this same message every year, every weekend, every day I get an opportunity to preach it. This is the only message I have. Do you know what would be sad, Brother Larry, if the Lord cut off the spiritual ability to hear from people that are here today and say, you've been given enough, you've molded over, you bucked against it, you rebelled against it. Now you'll never have it revealed to you again. I don't know where that line is. I'm glad we have a merciful and a gracious and a long-suffering God. I don't know where that line is where a man or a woman can cross and God says, I'll not let them hear. I'll not let be revealed to them what has been revealed to so many others. I'll not let it be real to them like it's real to others. I don't know where that line is, Jesse, but I know somewhere in every man, woman's life that's here that's lost today, there is a line. You can step across where Jesus says, I'm silencing that declaration. Oh, you may hear a preacher talk about it. You may hear flesh and blood declare it. You may hear it come out of the mouth of a loud mouth man of God, stomping and snotting and sweating and shouting and screaming. But you'll never hear it in your heart where you got to hear it for it to make a difference in your life. This morning, if you're here, listen, you're not saved. Here's the question. It's the most important question on your road of life. Whom say ye? Here's what Jesus asked. Whom say ye that I am? Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded about who He is? Have you ever come and believed and put your faith in Him and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. The Father has revealed the answer to me, and I want to have that transaction where I embrace it and it changes my life. The most important question on the road of life. Candy's beginning to play. We're standing, every head's bowed, every eye's closed.